Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the Old Testament? We're going back to where we left off a few weeks ago when we were together. We're going to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And we'd like to get back into our series entitled, We Are. And we're looking there again at our DNA and what our DNA looks like. What your DNA is, what you're made of. It's what you were programmed for, if you will. And God has a specific plan for us, a purpose for us, not only individually, but as a family. Isn't that awesome to know, huh? That we're not by chance, we're not coincidence, we're not a mistake, but God purposed in His heart to have us in the earth. And I'm glad for that. And so we've been looking at what God has called us to do and what He's called us to be. And just to make sure that we're still on track. How many know that sometimes in a journey, you can get off track by just one turn and can send you off into a place you never imagined that you go? Have you ever been there before? I know that I have. That's how it can happen. And next thing you know, you look around and you think, where am I? How did I get here? Well, we want to make sure that we're still on track. And so we started with this very foundational truth, which is the foundational truth for everything. And that is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. You and I exist because of Jesus. There is no other reason. It is because of Jesus. We have purpose and we have a hope for tomorrow. All those things, it's because of Jesus Christ. That's why the apostle said in Colossians 1, we proclaim Him and we admonish everyone with all teaching and wisdom so that we can present people mature in Christ. That's what our goal is. That's what our mission is. It's to bring people to life in Christ. And so part of that mission that Jesus has called us to is to live a life of generosity. Jesus Himself said this simple statement, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Another translation of that says it this way, more blessings come from giving than from receiving. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to exist, is in the blessing of giving. We want to be able to give into every good work. We want to be able to bless our families and our friends and our communities. We want to be there for those who are in need. Amen. And so that's where we want to live. But how many understand that that doesn't happen automatically? So a few weeks ago, we started looking at money and some of the negative mindsets that people have concerning money and the church. Because regardless of the negativity that's out there, regardless of what people say, the more money that we have, the more outreach we can do. Amen. The more money that we have, the more missionaries we can send out into the world. Amen. The more money we have, the more Bibles can be printed and the more information about Jesus can be printed that can be sent all throughout the world. The more money that we have, the more we can give to the needy. It's just the reality of the world that we live in today. And so it's no wonder the enemy wants us to be fighting about money all the time. And to be inhibited, if you will, to not even dare to talk about money. No wonder he wants us to stay in debt all the time. It's no wonder that he wants us to stay ignorant concerning money and slaves to an earthly system, because the more money that we have, the more skillfully we can use that money, the more his kingdom is going to be pushed back and the more we're going to be able to advance the kingdom of God. Imagine just for a minute how much could be done for the Lord in just one generation's lifetime if they didn't have to worry about any form of debt or any form of lack. But they could just solely focus on what God's brought them into the earth for. Imagine the work that could be done. Now, I'm not saying that we all should just quit our jobs and live in a commune. But what I am saying that is in Christ, there is a better way than what the earth is trying to, and this earthly system is trying to push down our throats. The Bible says there's a place where the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. And that's where God wants us to be. And I believe he's going to help us get there. Amen. And so I want us to look at this thought today. Project generosity. Now, most projects have some basic components or elements, if you will. Normally, when you think about it, this project, you get a picture in your mind about what you want to see happen. Then after you get this finished project in your mind, you get a picture of it. Then the very next thing you need to do is you need to have a plan. In other words, step-by-step instructions on how that's going to happen. How I'm gonna clean out the garage, or how I'm gonna remodel the living room, or how I'm gonna do this, or how I'm gonna do that. But you can have a plan, step-by-step instructions on how that's gonna happen. And then what do you have to do? You have to start making provisions. So if it's to remodel the bathroom, well, we need a new toilet, and we need a new lavatory, and we need a new shower, and this and that. And so we figure out the list, and we figure out how much it's gonna cost, and how much time it's gonna take. And then we jump in. Have you ever started a project and not finished it? Well, if we're honest with each other, usually the reason is because we either failed to plan appropriately or we failed to provide appropriately. What's interesting is that we never have issues with a picture. I mean, it's plain as day in our mind. We can see it just like we're looking at each other today. We get it, but we fail to finish because the provision's not there. The plan's not there. I would submit to you today that generosity works on the same principle. I believe that most everyone has a picture in their mind of what generosity looks like, but when a need arises, or when the offering plate passes by, or when there's a special project that is presented, and we want to be generous, but we find ourselves not being able to. And I believe that more times than not, it's because we don't have a plan for generosity, nor do we provide for generosity. So that's what I want to deal with today and next week, and possibly after that. Let's just see how deep we get into this. Amen. Do you want what God has for us? Amen. I know that you do. Amen. And so let's just ask the Lord to give us wisdom in this area. So how do I prepare for generosity? Well, Project Generosity is just like any other project. And so let's start where we left off. If you remember, we was talking about David. And so in 1 Chronicles, we find that David is sitting in his palace. Just a little context as we get to chapter 22. David is sitting in his palace, and one day he looks out and he realizes something is amiss. And so what does he do? He calls for Nathan, the prophet. And he says to Nathan, the prophet, he says, "Look, I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent." Something is wrong with this picture. And so here's what David did. He purposed in his heart to build the temple. He had a picture of the temple in his mind, just like we too have a picture of generosity in our mind. And look at what David did. 1 Chronicles 22, let's look at verse 1. "Then David said, 'The house of the Lord God is to be here.'" In that moment, David made a place for the temple. So in our project, which is to live a life of generosity, what we need to do is we need to create a place for generosity. We need to create a place for generosity. What do I mean by that? I simply mean this. We need to make generosity a part of our daily lives. I found that those who struggle with generosity usually fall into a couple of categories. The first one is this, is that the first group, they live their life with a consumer mentality. Now, what do I mean by that? I simply mean that they have this attitude that everything I have is for me. My time is for me. My money is for me. My gifts and my talents, they're for me. My home is for me. My car is for me. All my food, it's for me. Everything that I have, it's for my consumption. And so because everything is for me, then everything is consumed, seldom contributed. We would call it self-centered. In other words, I am the center of my universe. And you'll find that what's not consumed is hoarded. Now I do have a problem sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I confess that sometimes I do have a problem with getting rid of things. I don't think we have a problem with giving, but I just don't like to get rid of stuff. Why? Because I know I'm going to need it one day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jill made me clean out some boxes here a while back, and I was shredding light bills from 1986. Now, I don't know if that's healthy or not, but that's what it is. That's what happened. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know why I would need a copy of that. You know, but I just felt like I needed to keep that. And so sometimes people can have a consumer mentality. But what we have to understand is that generosity is the exact opposite. It's not inward, but generosity is outward. It's an outward action. It's giving of something that you have to something that's outside of you. The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and 26, the righteous give and they do not hold back. Now, there's another group of people that I have found in life that they want to be generous, but they have never planned for it, so they don't have it to give. Do you remember the parable that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 25 when he talked about 10 virgins? And here's what he said. He said there was five of the virgins that were wise and five that were unwise. And the only reason that he says that the five were wise is because they planned ahead. So how do we do that? Well, I believe there again, first of all, it's important to get that picture in your mind concerning generosity. Now, what does generosity look like in your mind? When I say generosity, what comes in? Now, for some, I understand this, that we kind of have to push beyond ourselves and our needs and sometimes even our own selfishness. We got to get past that. But I believe that once we get past that, then we come into this area where when we think of generosity, we have this picture that's generated in our mind. And I believe that that will reflect your God-given purpose. Some have a passion for the homeless. And so when I say, well, what does generosity look like to you? In some way, shape, or form, probably it's going to have something to do with helping the homeless. Others may have a passion for justice. And so what they'll picture in their mind is helping the underdog. It's being the one that stands beside the one that's being bullied. You know what I mean? So they'll have pictures conjured up in their minds that will be a direct reflection of their purpose. I got a feeling, too, that if you dig deep enough, that the picture that you have of generosity in your mind is also a direct reflection of your personality, who you're made up, your DNA, and your skill sets as well. Why does that happen? It's because it's not by coincidence. It's by God's design. So how do I know if I'm creating a place in my life for generosity? Well, one of the biggest ways to find out is to check out your bank account. The expenditures that's in your bank account should reflect your purpose in the earth, because that's where you've been called to be generous. Let me say that one more time. The expenditures in your bank account, what you spend your money on, should reflect your purpose in the earth, because that's where God is calling you to be generous. And the only true way to find that out, as painful as it may be, is to do a thorough audit of where your money is actually going, not where you think it's going. Because sometimes we have a picture of who we are that's not reality. And so if part of your calling, there again, is to help the homeless and to help the hurting and so on, then what you'll find is part of your resources should be going to that need, right? And if it's not, then what we have to do is we have to just honestly say, okay, the Lord, you've purposed me in the earth for certain things. And so what I want to do is I want to align myself with that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a place for generosity in that area, whether it's church, whether it's for the needy, whether it's for the homeless, whether it's for your family. It doesn't matter. And what happens is when we begin to make those adjustments, then our generosity will reflect our purpose, which takes us to our very next point. Look at verse 3, 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 3. There again, David had a picture in his mind about this temple, and so he created a place for it. And so now let's look at what's happening. He provided a large amount of iron to make the nails for the doors and the gateways and for the fittings, and more bronze than could be weighed. And he provided more cedar logs than could be counted. Verse 14, and he provided nearly 4,000 tons of gold and 40,000 tons of silver. Now, some would think that that's a lot, but that's what David could do. So don't get freaked out about the amount. You just need to concentrate on what you can do, and you'll have the same effect. That's the way it works in God's kingdom. Amen. So David created the place. Now we see he's creating provision for the temple of God. So in our project, there again, what are we talking about? Living a life of generosity. Then what we need to do is create provision for generosity. Now, how do we create provision for generosity? Very simply, we create provision for generosity through the job. And what's amazing to me is how many people don't really understand some of the basic principles of the job, let alone the need to work. You say, ouch or whatever, but we know it's true. If you ever read the story of creation, there's something that you're going to find out, that when God created Adam, the first thing he gave him was a job. It's true. Read it for yourself. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man. He created him, breathed life into him. And the very next day he took him and he placed him in the Garden of Eden. Why? To tend it and to keep it. So this was Adam's job. And there's some insight in this scripture and other scriptures that God has given to us that we can see concerning the job. And there's some basic principles that we need in our war chest, if you will, to help us concerning our job. One of those things is God gave Adam a job that he was suited for. If you've ever worked at a job that you're not suited for, you know how miserable it can be. God didn't do that. He gave him a job that he was suited for. God had created Adam with this specific skill set. What was that for? To tend and keep the garden, to have dominion over the animals and the fish and so on, to be fruitful and to multiply, to subdue the earth, to take dominion over the earth. That was Adam's skill set. And we see him doing this in Scripture. We see him multiplying. We see him naming the animals and keeping the garden and so on. We see him fulfilling his purpose, and that was part of God's plan. Now, for you and for me, part of our orientation of life is our skill set. A lot of people wonder, what in the world am I supposed to do? What am I called to do? My first question is, what are you good at? What do you have a natural proclivity to do? You heard the old saying, it's like water off a duck's back. It just falls off so easily. And it's so easy for you to do. Maybe it's math. You just see numbers and it's like music to your ears, where others it's like fingernails going down a chalkboard. But it's things that you're naturally good at. Our skill set will orient us in life. Those things that we're good at have been given to us so that we can successfully operate in our purpose. And they'll bring us into the place to where we can operate where God has called us to be. You see, the skill set that you've been given is not coincidence, but it's by divine providence. And it's to help you to find your place. Now look at this. Paul, the Holy Spirit gives him insight concerning the job in Ephesians 4:28. He says this, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. A lot of people think, well, I'm not a thief, so they stop there and they forget about the rest. But don't forget who he's writing to. He's not writing to the prison ministry. He's writing to the church. So is there an underlying principle that it's possible that people was robbing from God? I'm just throwing it out there for your own personal study. Is it possible? It may be. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just giving you something to chew on and ask the Holy Spirit about. He said, but don't do that. He said, but labor, work with your hands what is good. So what he's telling us is that we need to work hard and use our God-given skills in our God-given purpose. That's labor that's good for you. Amen. Is where God's called you to be. Use what God's given you and he'll take you where you need to be. You see, what we have to remember is God is into the details. I mean, just look at how creation just flows. Look at how everything happens. We was at the beach here just a little bit ago. And it is amazing at how everything just flows. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes up, the ocean comes in, the waves. I mean, it is just it's just absolutely amazing at the intricacy of our Savior. So is it possible that he's called you to be a nurse because maybe 15 years down the road, there's going to be one person he wants you to speak life to? And so he placed within you everything that you need to make it to that place, and then he'll give you the words to say in that place so that you can shine for Jesus. You think he's that intricate? I think he's more intricate than we can comprehend. I really do. I really do. Man, we're almost out of time. Would you give me a little bit longer? Thank you, Mom. I can always count on me, Mommy. Bless the Lord. So he says what we should do is we should labor at what is good, using our God-given skills in our God-given purpose. And then he tells us why. He adds a whole nother level to it, which the Holy Spirit always does, so that he may have something to give to him who has need. So another principle concerning our job is that we have a job to be fruitful. Now, fruitfulness for us and in our job is to provide for our family, but it's more than that. Did you know that you create income more than just to provide for your family and to have bigger toys than everyone else on your block? Did you know that? Not only is it that, but it is also to create provision for generosity, to be able to give into every good work, to be able to help the needy, to be able to provide for the gospel. And here's the important thing we need to remember, because now he's speaking to motive. And I'll tell you what, that is huge in the kingdom of God. So we have to be careful about our motive when it comes to work, that it's more than just getting ahead in life, but it is also to do what God has called us to do. And I believe that scripture proves out that that motive that we have should not only include helping the needy, both naturally and spiritually, but I'll take it to the next level and believe that it should be a priority. It should be in the top of our motives to work, is to be able to fulfill the purpose of God in the earth for your life. So what does this do? This realigns our whole mindset concerning our work and how we work and why we're there, or at least it should. Amen. And what will happen is this too will orient you in such a way that it'll align you with God's will for your life. Now you're here and you say, well, you know, all that stuff sounds great. I want to be generous, but I just don't make enough to do what you're talking about. You know, what about me? What's the answer for me? Look at verse 12. Now, by this time in Scripture, David has brought Solomon in and is telling him about the temple and that he'll be the one that's going to build it. And look at what he says. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding. Do you remember the scripture that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge? So now, what is David saying? David is speaking to his son. And he's saying, may the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you can keep what? You can keep your own opinions. You can keep your own agendas. That you can keep what you want to do. No. Here's what he says. He says, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then he says in verse 13, then you will have success if you're careful to observe the decrees and the laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Now, the decrees and the laws that God gave Moses for Israel was his plan for them to succeed. And guess what the promise was? Is that if they followed after the plan, they would have success. So what we have to do is we have to create a plan for generosity. So we create a place. We create provision. Now we've got the money. What do we do with the money? Now we need a plan. How do I do that? Well, every week or every other week, you receive wages for the labor that you've done. And when you receive those wages, you need a plan on how to disperse those wages. That plan is called a budget. Now, whether you live by a budget or you don't, the truth of the matter is this, is that the budget is the plan that will develop the picture that you have in your mind. If you don't have a plan, you'll never attain the picture. You'll never see it happen in your life. Look at this, Proverbs 21 and 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So for us, the same principle applies. If we're going to live a life of generosity, that we're going to have to plan for it. And I want to give you three quick reasons why, and then we'll close today. Number one, the budget keeps us from mismanaging the blessing. Now, you see, you could be blessed by the Lord, but if it's mismanaged, here's what's going to happen. You'll always be in need, and you'll never have enough. What happens when that happens? Oh, man, that's a bad place to be in, because you're always going to have stress in your life. Not only will it cause stress, but it'll create a place to where we're discontent. And if it goes on for too long, we'll begin to even question God's faithfulness in our lives. We'll question His Word. Is it really true? And you'll even question your relationship with Him. Does He even know where I'm at? When the truth of the matter is His blessing has been constant, but it's been mismanaged, resulting in lack. So the budget keeps us from mismanaging the blessing. Number two, the budget frees us to walk in purpose. A lot of people think that a budget is like a ball on a chain. It's just so constricting. But the truth of the matter is that when you manage your money, when you manage your money, it won't manage you, meaning that you will be the one that determines the course of your life, not debt, not lack, not that latest flashy item that's marked down 50% that you just have to have. Why do they put all the flashy and shiny stuff at the very end when you're about to go to the checkout? I mean, they don't put lettuce there. A big bag of carrots. Oh boy, honey, let's take these carrots home. No. It's all to lure you into buying the latest, greatest. And they're good at it. They're good at it. Amen. But when you manage your money, what happens is that you're free from all the extra weight of those things. You're free from the what society thinks you should have or not have. And man, that is an amazing place to be. Why? Because it frees you. It unencumbers you to the point to where you can walk freely in the life and purpose of God that He's called you to be in. You can live a life of generosity. Number three, the budget gives every dollar a purpose. Why is this important? Do you remember back when we said that a lot of people think that money corrupts? But the truth of the matter is that money doesn't corrupt. It just opens up access to be able to live out the things that's already in a person's heart. It simply creates an avenue to act out what's already in a person's heart. And so because of that truth, undisciplined money will distract us from the true goal and can even make us walk away from the Lord. And it's as simple as not giving your money purpose. So when you give every dollar a purpose in light of what God's called you to do, and when you live by it, what happens? That guards your heart from straying from your purpose and your relationship with God. And it all starts when you walk past the flashy. It's as simple as that. It's not wrong to have flashy things, but we want to make sure that it's not causing us to miss out on living a life that God has called us to live, a life of generosity. You know, what's amazing to me is that the more that I see God's truth concerning money in our lives, the more I see why the devil wants us to stay quiet about money, why he wants us to be fighting about money, why he wants marriages to fight about money, why he wants people in constant turmoil over money. It's easier to see why he wants us to be in debt. I mean, can you see why he wants us to fight over money and always to be in debt and to be slaves to this earthly system? Can you see that yourself? But aren't you glad that God is opening our eyes to the devil's schemes? I'm so glad that He is. And I'll tell you why I believe that He is. I believe that the Lord is opening our eyes to the devil's schemes, and He's revealing to us the truth about the role that money should play in our lives. It's because He's preparing us for what God has for us in the coming year. Where does it start? It starts with us saying, okay, Lord, I've got this picture in my mind of what generosity looks like. And now help me to begin to provide. Help me to understand the plan to do that and align me and align my finances with your will for my life. Why? So that I can honor God in all areas of my life.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.